Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by for JinkoSolar Holding Company Limited second quarter 2022 earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. After management's prepared remarks, there will be a question and answer session. As a reminder, today's conference call is being recorded. I would like to now turn the meeting over to your host for today's call, to Ms. Stella Van, JinkoSolar's Investor Relations. Please proceed, Stella. Over to you.
Thank you, operator. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today for JinkoSolar's second quarter 2022 earnings conference call. The company's results were released early today and available on the company's IR website at www.jinkosolar.com, as well as on Newswire services. We have also provided a supplemental presentation for today's earnings call, which can also be found on the IR website. On the call today from JinkoSolar are Mr. Li Jiande, Chairman of the Board of Directors and Chief Executive Officer of JinkoSolar Holding Company Limited, Mr. Zhen Miao, Chief Marketing Officer of JinkoSolar Company Limited, Mr. Pan Li, Chief Financial Officer of JinkoSolar Holding Company Limited, and Mr. Charlie Cao, Chief Financial Officer of JinkoSolar Company Limited. Mr. Li will discuss JinkoSolar's business operations and company highlights, followed by Mr. Miao, who will talk about the sales and marketing, and then Mr. Pan Li, who will go through the financials. They will all be available to answer your questions during the Q&A session that follows. Please note that today's discussion will contain forward-looking statements made under the safe harbor provisions of the U.S. Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties. As such, our future results may be materially different from the views expressed today. Further information regarding this and other risks is included in JinkoSolar's public filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. JinkoSolar does not assume any obligation to update any forward-looking statements except as required under the applicable law. It's now my pleasure to introduce Mr. Li Jiande, Chairman and CEO of JinkoSolar Holding. Mr. Li will speak in Mandarin, and I will translate his comments into English. Please go ahead, Mr. Li.
二季度总收货量约10.5个G瓦，逐渐出货量约4.2个G瓦，环比增长约26.8%，总营收约28.1亿美金，环比增长约27.6%，占有成本不断攀升的背景下，我们通过技术进步和工艺改进，降低内部可控的成本，不封对冲上游的高成本对公司的盈利的影响。 毛利率为14.7%，环比一季度基本持平。扣除可转债和期权费用的影响，经调整，净利润为5500万美金，环比一季度小幅改善。We
had a good quarter and difficult market conditions. Total solar shipments in the second quarter were 10.5 gigawatts. Module shipments in the second quarter were 10.2 gigawatts. Up roughly 27% sequentially, and the total revenues were $2.81 billion, up 27.6% sequentially. These upstream costs continue to rise. We actively worked to control internal costs through technical advancement and process improvement, which partially offset the impact of higher upstream costs on our profitability. Gross margin was 14.7%, relatively flat compared with the first quarter. Excluding the impact of the convertible senior notes and the share-based compensation expenses, adjusted net income in the second quarter was $55 million, improving sequentially.
随着越来越多的国家和企业加速能源转型，以及受到俄乌冲突造成的能源供应危机驱动。 光伏需求持续增长。根据 Infolink 统计分析，中国海关出口数据显示，中国上半年出口逐渐达到了 78.7个G瓦，同比增长了102%。欧洲为2022年上半年进口逐渐最火热的市场。 上半年已累计从中国进口了42.4个吉瓦的光伏组件，同比增长了约137%。国内市场需求也很强劲，上半年国内新增装机约30.9个吉瓦，同比增长了约136%。然后硅料的产出释放远不及下游需求超预期的增长，检修、限电、疫情限制等因素更加剧了硅料的供不应求，硅料价格一路上扬，近期已达到310元每公斤的高位，组件价格也有所抬升。由于不同客户对于收利率的要求有差异，部分客户对于当前组件的价格接受度有所下降，需求有所放缓。我认为三季度的硅料价格会持续上涨，并达到顶点。而随着硅料的产出在四季度陆续释放，硅料价格预期有所缓和，有望驱动下游需求逐步恢复。
Driven by accelerating energy transition in several countries and business, as well as the energy supply crisis caused by the Russia-Ukraine conflict, demand for solar products has exploded in many markets. According to the statistics and analysis of China's customs export data by InfoLink, China's export of modules in the first half of the year reached 8.7 gigawatts, a year-over-year increase of 102%. Exports to Europe reached a total of 42.4 gigawatts of PV modules, a year-over-year increase of 137%. Demand in the China market was also strong. During the first half, solar PV installations in China reached 30.9 gigawatts, a year-over-year increase of 136%. Given this better-than-expected growth in demand, released polysilicon production came up short and was further aggravated by annual maintenance programs and power rationing and anti-pandemic restrictions in certain regions of China. As a result, polysilicon prices rose continuously and reached a recent high of RMB 310 per kilogram, sending module prices higher. Regular discussions with our clients indicated that some of them found higher module prices to negatively affect project yields, and as a result, some demand slowed down. We believe polysilicon prices will continue to increase and reach their peak in the third quarter. Then, as polysilicon production ramps up in the fourth quarter, polysilicon price increases are expected to moderate, driving a recovery of downstream demand.
近期，四川省发布了限电政策，我们在四川的制造工厂的生产暂时受到影响。由于四川限电政策的持续时间以及我们的四川产能恢复满厂运行的时间具备不确定性，预计会对公司2022年的经营业绩产生一定影响。我们积极采取多种措施来降低限电对公司生产经营的影响，包括协调其他资源供应保障，与当地的政府积极沟通等。同时，我们灵活调整组件的生产和出货计划，尽最大的努力满足对客户的交付。
Recently, the local government of Sichuan province has imposed the province-wide power rationing measures, and the production capacity of our manufacturing facilities in Sichuan province has been temporarily affected. We are currently unable to evaluate the extent to which our business operation and financial performance for full year 2022 will be affected by the power rationing measures in Sichuan province, as it remains uncertain how long the power rationing measures will persist and when our Sichuan manufacturing facilities can resume full production. We are actively monitoring the situation and has implemented various measures to minimize the adverse impact from the power rationing on our business operations and financial performance, including but not limited to having our other manufacturing facilities assume more production and actively communicating with the local government about power supply related matters. We also flexibly adjusted the module production volumes and shipment plans in order to meet delivery to our clients.
二季度大尺寸产能占比环比提升，一体化结构持续优化， 年初投产的16个吉瓦 TOPCOM 的电池产能已于二季度末满产，量产效率超过 24.8%， 良率和成本均符合我们的预期。近期合肥二期约8吉瓦 N 型电池电产能已经投产，下半年我们将有海宁二期约11吉瓦的 N 型电池产能投产。高效产能自功率的提升增强公司的竞争力。
In the second quarter, the proportion of large size capacity increased sequentially, further improving our integrated structure. The 16 gigawatts of TOPCon cell capacity that started production at the beginning of the year reached the full production at the end of the second quarter, with a mass production efficiency of over 24.8%, and yield rate and the integrated cost in line with our expectations. We recently started production at an additional 8 gigawatts of N-type cell capacity in Hefei and commenced construction of another production project with 11 gigawatts of N-type cell capacity in Haining. The increase in our in-house high-efficient capacity ratio will continuously improve our competitiveness.
我们较早布局了 TOPCon 技术并持续深耕，近期我们在当前已选定 TOPCon 的技术路线，完成了关键的技术的攻关，已具备了工艺、技术等相关壁垒，在大规模量产中实现了行业领先的效率、良率和成本水平。我们认为 TOPCon 目前是后 POC 时代最具商业化量产价值的高效电池，后续提升空间较大，我们将持续通过技术迭代保持领先。
As an industry pioneer embracing the TOPCon technology, we have recently achieved key technology breakthroughs in the currently selected TOPCon technology roles that we believe we have created an entry barrier related to core process and technology with industry-leading mass production efficiency, yield rates, and cost levels.We believe TOPCon is currently the high-efficiency cell with the greatest value for commercialization, mass production in the post-PERC era, and has relatively ample development opportunities. We will continue to maintain our leading position through technical iteration.
N 型产品持续受到海内外客户的关注，目前订单可见度高。此外，由于 N 型相较于 P 型有更优异的技术参数，额外的发电争议已签订了相较 P 型有一定溢价，我们有信心完成年初制定的 N 型全年出货目标。随着23年新产能的释放和 N 型产品市场渗透率提升，预计 N 型出货占比将进一步的增加。
Our N-type product, Tiger Neo modules, continue to be well received by global customers, and so far, we have high visibility in our order book. Compared with P-type products, N-type products command a competitive premium as a result of improved technical parameters and additional power generation gain. We are confident that we will complete our four-year N-type shipment goal. In addition,Considering the release of new capacity in 2023 and the increasing market penetration, we expect that the proportion of N-type shipments to further increase.
产能扩张方面，考虑到今年供应量和市场情况，我们调整了硅片电池组件的扩产节奏。到年底，单晶硅片电池组件的产能预计分别达到60吉瓦、55吉瓦和65吉瓦。
In view of the current and expected supply chain and market conditions, we have adjusted our capacity expansion pace for wafer, cell, and modules for the rest of this year. And as a result, we are currently expecting the annual production capacity for mono wafers, cells, and modules to reach 60, 55, and 65 gigawatts, respectively, by the end of 2022.
话题交给接纳之前，我来介绍一下业绩指引。2022年第三季度公司的总出货量在99到10个吉瓦之间，维持全年35到40吉瓦的出货指引不变。
Before turning over to Jenna, I would like to go over our guidance for the third quarter of 2022. We expected that the total shipments to be in the range of 9 to 10 gigawatts for the third quarter this year, and we reiterate our total shipments of 35 to 40 gigawatts for the full year of 2022.
Thank you, Ms. Lee. Total solar shipments in second quarter were 10.5 gigawatts, of which over 97% were module shipments, up nearly 27% quarter over quarter and a double year over year. Since the Russia-Ukraine conflict, global energy transformation accelerated and showed strong growth momentum, especially in Europe. In second quarter, our shipment to European market grew steadily, and the proportion of shipment to Europe remained high, reaching 25 to 30% range. In China, the distributed generation business demonstrated strong momentum. Newly added installation in China in the first half grew remarkably by 136% year over year. In second quarter, our shipment to the Chinese market grew exponentially year over year, more than doubling sequentially. Our shipment to emerging market also registered stable sequential growth. While demand was strong, we also noticed some potential challenges. For example, demand in some European countries for the second half is expected to slow down sequentially as a result of the problem affecting the logistic chain. And some of our domestic clients are waiting to fully access the impact from the continuous rise in supply chain costs. In addition, the execution of some large-scale utility projects might be delayed to 2023 due to issues with grid connection and the power transmission. Taking these challenges into consideration, we have been adjusting our geographic mix as well as our sales and contract signing strategy, while keeping in close communication with our clients. So far, both our contract signing and the execution are maintained at a satisfactory level. In US market, tightened supply chain tracking should dampen demand in the short term. In the long run, with President Biden's XGAP executive order to spur clean energy manufacturing and the recently passed Inflation Reduction Act of 2022, which include $369 billion in climate and energy-related funding. We expect the demand to remain positive. In order to improve our resilience to risks, we will continue to closely monitor market and policy developments, adjust the production and marketing strategies accordingly, and further strengthen our overseas supply chain and the global sales and marketing network. The proportion of large-size product shipments gradually increased to nearly 90% in the second quarter, further optimizing our product structure. Shipments through distribution channels where growth in demand is strong accounted for nearly 50%. With shipment through distribution channels in European and some APAC market accounting for more than half. Tiger Neo modules continue to be acclaimed by clients all over the world with high order book visibility and pricing premium in line with our expectations. We estimate that Tiger Neo shipment for the full year of 2022 will reach approximately 10 gigawatts. The transformation to clean energy is now an irresistible trend and with the need for energy security. Global PV demand is expected to achieve rapid growth this year. Nevertheless, some markets are experiencing temporary pain this year due to the inevitable short-term volatility that comes with rapid growth. As the market continues to adjust, we remain optimistic about global PV development. We will provide various bill of materials and versions based on Tiger Neo to cater to diversified client needs in different countries. We expect to achieve shipment growth that exceeds market growth, further increasing our competitiveness in global market. With that, I will turn the call over to Pat.
Thank you, Jenner. For second quarter of 2022, both solar module shipments and total revenue increased significantly year over year. Nevertheless, gross margin relatively flat with first quarter and decreased year over year, due primarily to an increase in the material cost of solar modules. Due to significant increase in the company's stock price in the second quarter, we recognized the loss from a change in fair value of the convertible senior notes of $80 million in this second quarter. Excluding the impact of the convertible senior notes and the share-based compensation expenses, adjusted net income attributed to the Jinko Solar Holding Company Limited ordinary shareholders in the second quarter was $55 million, improving sequentially. Let me go into more details. Total revenue was $2.8 billion, up about 27% sequentially, and a significant increase of 137% year over year. Gross margin was 14.7% compared with 15.1% in the first quarter and 17.1% in the second quarter last year. Total operating expenses were $457 million, up 40% sequentially. The increases were mainly attributed to an increase in shipping cost for solar modules, an increase in disposal and impairment loss on property, plant, and equipment, and an increase in the share-based compensation expenses. Total operating expenses accounted for about 16% of total revenues in the second quarter, up from about 15% in the first quarter and 13% in the second quarter last year. EBITDA was $186 million compared with $126 million in the first quarter this year, excluding the impact from a change in fair value of the notes and the share-based compensation expenses, the adjusted net income attributed to the Jinko Solar Holding Company Limited ordinary shareholders was $55 million, improving sequentially. Due to the continued appreciation of the U.S. dollar against the RMB, we realized a net foreign exchange gain, including change in fair value of foreign exchange derivatives, of approximately $34 million in the second quarter this year, compared with a net gain of $12 million in the first quarter. Moving on to the balance sheet. At the end of the second quarter, the company had cash and cash equivalents of $2.15 billion, slightly down from $2.66 billion at the end of the first quarter and up from $1 billion at the end of the second quarter last year. AR turnover days were 69 days in the second quarter compared with 66 days in the first quarter. Inventory turnover days were 104 days in the second quarter compared with 117 days in the first quarter. Total debt was $3.8 billion at the end of the second quarter, down sequentially from $4.3 billion. Net debt was $1.7 billion compared with $1.6 billion at the end of the first quarter this year. This concludes our prepared remarks. We're now happy to take your questions. Operator, please proceed.
Thank you so much, management. I request participants to press 0 and then 1 to ask questions. I'll repeat, to ask a question, you need to press 0 and then 1. First question of the day we have from Lawrence Soon from Rock Capital Partners. Your line is unmuted, Lawrence. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Lawrence Soon on behalf of Phil Shen, thanks for taking the question. I was wondering if we could get some more color on the Sichuan power shutoff. Specifically, you know, from what we gathered, Jinko's has about 18 gigawatts of ingot capacity in Sichuan. That's about like half of your total capacity. So given that you've shut down for about 10 days, would that be an estimated, you know, 5% of Q3 ingot capacity offline so far? Thanks.
Yeah, I think you're talking about the, you know, the impact from the, you know, China's Sichuan province, the power cuts, the impact, right, for the production and
yeah,
from our factories in for the wafers, and it's a pervasive impact, right, for the Sichuan province, which is because of the, I think, the drought induced, you know, the power cuts. And it did have, I think, the 10 days to 15 days, you know, impact for our wafer capacities, and which is roughly 25 gigawatts, and 25 gigawatts for annual capacities. So converting to monthly production is 2 gigawatts a month. So we estimate it's around 700 megawatts, you know, impact, and for the wafer. But you know, we have global. Let's say we have four factories, you know, for the wafer in different regions, including three factories in China. So we try to maximize the productions from other wafer capacities, other that regions. So from management teams, you know, we try to minimize the impact, and it did have some impact from, you know, from the production side and our cost side in the third quarter.
Okay, thanks. So thanks for the details. So I believe the impact to cost side, would there be any impact from purchase of external wafers in order to meet your, you know, shipment guidance? If so,
No. Yeah, I think no, because, you know, if you look at our guidance, which is, you know, 9 gigawatts to 10 gigawatts, we have taken into the, you know, this situation in consideration. So we don't have plan to purchase the wafer from third party.
Okay, great. Thanks for the detail. So, you know, would it be safe to say the leading indicator for recovery in Sichuan is the recovery of water levels? You guys are mostly driven by hydropower, right?
Yeah, it's already, you know, in recovery state, you know, standards, and the situation is getting better, you know, particularly in the recent 2 days, and our capacity are expected to reach to full capacity in the next, I think, in the next couple of days.
Okay, that's really great to hear. I had another set of questions on, you previously said earlier in the call, you touched on it, Titan supply chain tracing. Does that have to do with the UFLPA? And if it is related to the UFLPA, could you please help us quantify the number of gigawatts that you've maybe shifted from shipping into the U.S. towards EU or other countries?
Yeah, I think we're preparing this traceability topic not only for U.S. market, but also for other markets as well. We have recent months or quarters, we have intensively get inquiry from different countries or different customers about traceability topic, right? That's why we believe in the future we have to prepare the capability of traceability of the product, including the polysilicon and some other key material, as a necessary step for the future, right? I think that includes U.S. market.
Okay,
and for U.S. market itself, yeah, for U.S. market itself, we are still working hard, you know, together with the CBP and our consultant to make through, right? So currently the customer clearance is not that smooth as usual, especially under UFLPA. So we have to working on lots of details to make it happen, and we are working hard on it.
Okay, thanks for the details there. Could I just get a little bit more on the, you know, you said it's not smooth, right? So for what type of modules is it not smooth? Is German poly, Southeast Asian modules, China poly, Southeast Asian modules, U.S. poly, Southeast Asian modules, or all? Just a little bit more color.
Well,
cool. Thank you.
Let's say based on what we, our knowledge, based on our knowledge and awareness, I don't see there's any difference between China polysilicon or European polysilicon or American polysilicon, right? So we have to provide the right documents to meet the requirement from CBP officials.
Okay, one last question before I hand it off. You know, what's the utilization rate of your Southeast Asian facilities? Can you keep it at around the same level by shifting module shipments to other countries? And what's the rough, like, mix, please? Thank you.
Yeah, obviously, we have to look into the different part across the whole value chain, right? For the upper stream-wise, like the wafer and cell, I think is in short of supply. There's in full of demand, not only for U.S. market, but also for the other market. Right, and for the module side, you know, since it's targeting the U.S. market, we have to be very careful to about, you know, the traceabilities. We won't ship or we won't manufacture the product if we cannot guarantee the traceability is in the right place.
Okay, thank you. I'll pass it.
Thank you.
Before taking next question, I'll repeat. If you wish to ask a question, you need to press 0 and then 1. Next, we have Alan from Jefferies. Your line is unmuted, Alan. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. And thanks a lot, management, for taking my question. So my first question is about what is the expectation or the current situation of the TOPCon products and what is the premium out there? Like, is it 1 cent or 1.5 U.S. cents compared to PERC?
Yeah. Firstly, about the product itself, I think the N-type TOPCon product that we call Tiger New is highly competitive compared with the standard PERC product, right? I think it's based on the 72 pieces product, Tiger New is almost 20 watt peak higher than the standard PERC product, which also together with other, you know, good features like the degradation and you know, etc. So definitely it's generating extra benefit for the customer end and bring additional value to the project side or to the installations or solar system. That's why we can, you know, getting the premium from the market. Currently the premium we're expecting or we're looking at is around 1 cent to 1.5 cents range. Sometimes it's up to 2 cents, but let's say the broader range will be 1 to 1.5 cents. Thank you.
And so it's actually pretty decent. So when it comes to production cost perspective, so have we already achieved cost parity versus PERC in terms of the production cost of TOPCon? And what is the current yield rate right now?
You know, in the second quarter, the TOPCon capacity is in a ramp-up stage, and our R&D and the operational team is working very hard to improve, you know, the output, you know, efficiencies, and as well as the cost. And right now, you know, the integrated cost of the TOPCon, you know, the modules compared to the traditional, you know, P-type modules, it's, you know, the difference is within the range of lower than RMB 5 cents. And our plan is, you know, we continue to improve the cost structures, and we target by the end of this year, and the TOPCon integrated cost could reach to, you know, the same level of the PERC by the end of this year.
Understood. So that will effectively means that you will have same cost, and then you will make an extra 1 or 1.5 cents of net profit on top of perk, right?
Yeah, you're right. We did, you know, when we sell the TOPCon modules, we did have the premium, you know, general mentioned, and this cost structure we need to work continuously and to improve, and it's in a good, you know, on the track, and we expect, and we our target is by the end of this year, it could be, you know, reach the same level.
Understood. So thanks a lot, and this. Another question is about what is your view on one of the major policy players who is entering into the module space? So this is one of the hottest topic in the markets recently. So what is your view on this?
And I think, you know, there's a very big market, even for the existing market, the market growth rate in the next, you know, decades. And if you look at the top five companies, module companies, the market share now is 60-65%. There are a lot of tier two, three companies. They are taking 30-35% market share. And if you look at the growth rate, we expect, you know, 30%, you know, in the next couple of years. So we believe there's just a lot of, you know, potential, you know, room, you know, for the, let's say, the big players to penetrate the markets. And but in the module, you know, the business is not purely a production side, and we built this business for over 10 years. It is more like you know, global manufacturing and global, you know, marketing, sales, bankability, and you know, strong sales relationship with customers. So what we are doing is to we continue to solidify our, you know, the strong branding, you know, marketing, and the product, you know, competitiveness.
Thanks a lot. And so, would also like to know, the management has also mentioned the Inflation Reduction Act in the U.S. And one of the key incentives in the act is, of course, the subsidies on the installation, but also they are a lot of subsidies on building factories in the U.S. So we'd like to know if Jinko Solar is considering further expansion into U.S. in terms of building factories.
Yeah, I think it's a very, you know, hot topic, and the IRA, you know, the you know, to be effective in the U.S. you know, starting from next year, and it did provide a lot of subsidies, you know, from manufacturing in the U.S. And we already had a very small module capacity, 400 megawatts, which will be ineligible for the incentive. And for the expansion topic, and we are in the early stage to further evaluations, but I think it's we expect, you know, there will be more local, you know, U.S.-based, you know, more local capacities in the next couple of years. Given, you know, the strong support from the IRA policies, but we are at the early stage of evaluations.
So I think my last question is, what is the your outlook on the solar installation in this year and next year, and in, probably in 2022 through 2025, the global installation, and a brief breakdown if you may provide. Thanks.
Yeah, we estimate roughly, you know, 250 megawatts in a gigawatts installations this year, and the next year, given, you know, the bottleneck of the polysilicon will be gone, and we expect a strong growth in China, U.S. as well as the European markets. And we estimate roughly 25-30%, you know, the market growth next year.
Understood. So that's more than 300 gigawatt. Probably we are talking about like 320 gigawatt, right? markets?
We are, in general, optimistic, you know, now because you know, the policy is at very high level. It did delay, you know, particularly the utility scale projects in China and in, as well as in other regions. So given next year, you know, the more volume, you know, input, and we expect the installation will be at a very, you know, at a very quick speed.
Thanks a lot. So which the company will benefit from the strong demand and also the upside in the TOPCon product? And I'll leave the floor to other investors. Thank you, management.
Thank you.
As you see, if you wish to ask a question, you need to press 0 and then 1 on your telephone keypad. Once again, participants, if you have questions, please press 0 and then 1. We have a question from Rajiv Chaudhary from Samsara Capital. Rajiv, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my question. Actually, I have a few questions. The first one is just on the model. As I look at the unit shipments that you had in the second quarter and compare them to the unit shipments in the first quarter, it seems that your average price realized per module went down quarter to quarter and quite significantly by about one full penny or maybe more than 1 cent. Can you explain why that would be happening in an environment where prices in general were stable or up?
Sorry, are you asking about the Q1 and Q2 ASP changes?
Yes.
I think according to our data, the Q1 and Q2 price are pretty, I think, close. So our Q2 average price is has a very tiny drop compared with Q1 ASPs. Mainly it's because in some historical orders we have to execute it, which is lower than market price. The rest are pretty normal. So in our view, we believe the quarterly ASP are staying in a market condition. There's no big changes on that.
Just based on the revenues and the unit shipments, it looked like the average selling price in the first quarter was around 28.4 cents, and the second quarter was around 27.2 cents. So that looked like a pretty decent drop. But you are saying that some of it was because of legacy shipments at a lower price. Are those legacy shipments behind you, or do you?
Let me correct you on this. The revenues including manufacturers, right? Not only module revenues, even module revenues are the majority of it, but we're still including other parts included in the revenue. That's why you cannot, you know, use the revenue to divide the shipment to as ASP. That's not accurate enough.
I see.
Additional factor is maybe the RMB depreciations and you use the US dollar. There's maybe, you know, the flexing as well as, you know, second quarter China is taking more portion. But again, the ASP is stable and the second quarter is slightly, you know, a little bit down, a very small. Yeah.
And yeah, okay, Charlie, I understand. So along the same lines, can you give us some feeling for what the ASP will be in the third quarter and the fourth quarter for the year?
Yeah, for the third quarter, the ASP will be as stable as the first quarter and the second quarter. So the fourth quarter, even it has not been fully closed, we are still, you know, closely monitoring the market situation, but we are expecting market prices as well. So, hope that.
Sorry, you are expecting you are expecting fourth quarter to be flat also.
Yeah, more or less flat. But since it's still far away from the fourth quarter, so there are still, you know, unknown factors to factor in. So we don't have any disclosure on the fourth quarter ASPs. But my personal expectation will be the fourth quarter ASPs, the market price will be more or less stable compared with Q3.
Another question is on the stock-based compensation. Can you quantify roughly how much it is per quarter, and what it was in the second quarter, and how it is expected to trend in the third and fourth quarters?
Okay, the stock-based compensation is the company granted in the first quarter, second quarter. It's a one-off item, and given in the future we expect that the amount will be very small. And for the second quarter, the exact amount you can calculate because we have disclosed adjusted net income, which is 55 million, and including the convertible bonds and the stock-based compensation, I think it's roughly 20 or 25 million. But you can do the calculations.
So it's 20, 25 million, and you're saying that in the third and fourth quarters, that number is going to go down?
Yeah, we're very small. We'll be very small in the future, yeah.
Okay. So the shipment cost on a per-watt basis, did the shipment cost go up quarter to quarter on a per-watt basis?
Yeah, shipment cost is at high level. I think it's roughly 1.5 to 2 cents US cents per watt, and but quarter by quarter it's relatively stable, and the shipping cost will maintain at I think very high level, but given more mix to China in the second half of the year, blended will be lower in the second quarter, but in the next year we expect given the global economy is very weak, and we expect next year the logistic will be, the cost will be, in a downward trend.
Okay. And can you also tell us what the depreciation and CapEx numbers were for the second quarter and what your expectation is for the full year now?
For CapEx and the first... In the first half of this year, it's reached 1.4 billion. And for the whole year, we forecast it still remains on 3 billion US dollars.
And depreciation?
Depreciation, I think, it's let's say roughly per watt basis, it's roughly, per watt basis is 5 to 6 RMB cents per watt. So it's roughly 55 to 60 million RMB for second quarter.
Okay. And the final question is, on the polysilicon business, as you know, the polysilicon margin, gross margins are right now in excess of 70%, and even though they will come down as prices come down, the expectation is that the polysilicon business will maintain gross margins that are, maybe 35 or 40%, much higher than the module business. Canadian Solar has expressed an intention to get into the polysilicon business. Do you have any thoughts about getting into the polysilicon business yourselves?
Yeah. Polysilicon, it's a bottleneck in the recent 2 years. But next year, for sure, the supplies were sufficient, and it's in a downward trend. So from the polysilicon side, we don't believe it's a bottleneck for our business in the future. And we are, our supply chain team is doing is a partnership, with the leader of the polysilicon producers, and design the long-term you know, the polysilicon supply contract. And as well as we, you know, invest as minority, you know, investors, we invest two companies as minority interest, and to, you know, to strengthen our relationship for the top polysilicon supplier. So we don't have plan, let's say, to do the business, you know, of the polysilicon so far.
Okay. And my final question is about storage. Can you give us an update on what you are doing in the storage space? What sort of orders and revenues and feedback you are getting from the marketplace?
Well, the storage business is still in the early stage. We believe it's not the right timing to talk about it. And we will share our strategy and our plan once this is ready, right? Thank you for your attention.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next, we have Gary Zhou from Credit Suisse. Your line is unmuted.
Yeah, hello, management. Thank you for taking my questions. So I have three questions. So firstly, on the module shipment, so just wondering if the company has a breakdown of our module shipment for this year for the China market and overseas market. And if possible, can we talk a little bit on the unit profit difference between China domestic sales versus overseas module sales? And the second question is on the TOPCon. So I noticed that, you know, some of our competitors may also have some TOPCon capacity coming out in the fourth quarter this year. So just wondering, do we believe this 1 to 1.5 cents US dollar ASP premium can be maintained going forward? And also, you know, comparing our N-type, our TOPCon products versus peers, do we, can management talk about what's the advantage of our products? And lastly, a quick question on the polysilicon side. So basically, the near-term polysilicon price is still high, you know, probably supported by the Sichuan kind of supply disruption. But wondering if the management has a view on what time or which months can we kind of start to see the polysilicon price to drop. Thank you.
Thank you. There's a lot of questions. I will try to cover it as much as I can, right? So firstly, about the geographic mix for the full year, we are expecting the China and the Europe market are the two largest contributors to Jinko Solar's shipment for the full year, and which accounted for around 25 to 30%. And followed by emerging market, which will be contributing. We're expecting contributing a lot, between 20 to 25%, and the APAC market will be around 15 to 20%, and the rest will followed by other markets, including North America and Middle East Africa, etc. Right. And the second question about this Tiger New as N-type product premium. The way we are pricing the product is to sharing the benefit together with the customer. It's not a competition or for, let's say, a gaming negotiation. It's really a benefit sharing model, which means that approximately, let's say, around by using Tiger New N-type products, the customer's project can get additional benefit of around 2.5 to 3 cents per watt. So then we are establishing the business model to share the benefit by approximately half to half with the customer. That's why we believe such business model is sustainable and consistent, and it doesn't have to go to the price competitions. Even with more and more peers joining the TOPCon group, we believe we can jointly, you know, leading the technology innovation and you know, create a bigger market for solar industry. We don't have to go to the price competitions. And compared with our, you know, followers or our peers, Topcon technology, we believe, you know, as a pioneer in this area, our cost structure and our efficiency, including our product performance, will continue to have a competitive advantage or at least a leading position in this market, and we are so confident on that. Lastly, about the polysilicon prices, we believe, you know, in the long run, like Charlie saying in the previous conversations, we believe the polysilicon will become will be the bottleneck in the next coming, let's say, quarters, and which will create a bigger market for solar installation in the downstream, especially for the utility project, which has been significantly delayed due to the CapEx problem. We are having a big hope on that. Hope that answers your question.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, management. This is very helpful, and I'll pass on. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Next question is coming from Ren Lee from Goldman Sachs. Your line is unmuted.
Hi, thanks for taking the questions. This is Grace on for Brian. Just quick question on the margin expectations. Just given the elevated poly pricing and also the power control in Sichuan, which may impact your utilization rate, how should we think about your gross margin in 3Q and also for the next couple of quarters? Thanks.
Yeah, the gross margin we expect, you know, expansion a little bit, you know, expansion in the next quarters. And we did face, you know, the elevated price of the polysilicon and as well as the power cuts, you know, from Sichuan province. But, you know, our Topcon, you know, module, you know, cell capacity is operating in a very good status and will contribute more portions of our revenue and the product mix, and which has relatively higher gross margin profit contributions. So we have the confidence and the margin will be expanded, you know, in the second half year compared to the first half year. Yeah.
Okay, understood. Thank you. And then on your OpEx, your OpEx increased pretty significantly in 3Q. I guess that's partially due to Stockcom. I think you mentioned Stockcom will be very minimal in 3Q. So can you talk about your OpEx expectation in the second half? Thanks.
So you're talking about operating expense, right? Operating expenses. You know, operating expenses, I think, you know, it's given we have more shipments, you know, in the second half year, you know, and compared to first half year, we expect the operating expenses against the revenue will be slightly lower, you know, in the second half year.
Okay, thank you. I'll take the rest offline.
Thank you.
At this time, there are no further questions. So that does conclude our second quarter conference call. You may all disconnect now. Thank you so much, all.